Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first ever episode of Amazing Tales of the Atlantic, the podcast. I'm the show's creator, Sam McDonald. Don't want to take up too much of your time before we get to the show here. I just wanted to give you a basic outline of what the show is all about, all that jazz. The basic gist is it's a radio play anthology series for modern podcast times, which celebrates the characters that we find ourselves surrounded by in Atlantic Canada. Now, just ask that you please excuse any audio issues. We're in the process of learning, how to bring this from the stage to your ears everywhere and anywhere. We're going to be all about constant improvement. I learned that when I used to work a corporate job. The first three episodes of the pod will deliver the entirety of what we call the Dunes trilogy of Anne of the Green Planet. So this episode of the pod is episode one of Anne of the Green Planet, recorded live at the Guild and presented by the Guild, and starring the voice talents of Cassinda Bulger as Anne, Sam McDonald, that's me, as Dr. Matthew Cuthbert, Sam White as Gilbot, Marley Trey Carton as Dr. Marilla Cuthbert, also featuring the voice talents of Ryan Gallant, Dylan Miller, Catherine Cairns, and Graham Putnam, also featuring Foley effects by Ali Rawling and sound effects provided by Curtis McNevin. Okay, folks, I'm so excited to have you get to listen to this for the first time. So without further ado, we're just going to get right to episode one.
And now, settle into your space seats for tonight's final amazing tale. An inquisitive human orphan named Anne from the planet Nova, Nova Scotia, has lived a tumultuous life. Moving from horrible home to horrible home across the cosmos, she has always dreamed of adventure among the stars and a safe place to call home. She finds one and a half of those things when she is taken in by scientists on the space station Avonlea. This is Anne of the Green Planet. Tonight's episode is entitled The Space Road to Space Avonlea.
Arriving now at Pylon 4 of Avonlea Station, Flight 1908 from Nova, Nova Scotia. Please make your way to the luggage release ring and wait for your name to be called.
Oh my goodness! This is the most beautiful technological terror I've ever seen! Wouldn't you agree, sir? Doesn't it just shine in ways you couldn't conceive? So many different colors out of space! It could positively drive a person mad with joy!
Sure. I just want to get out of here as soon as possible. You'd be smart to do the same thing, kid. Nothing but strange things happen on Avonlea Station. They say the planet below is haunted by all manner of unsettling things, like space ghosts. Oh, don't forget the goblins.
Well, that's rude. Just because the dominant intelligent species of the planet are green and have pointy ears doesn't mean you need to call them goblins. Have some decorum, sir.
Now he's right. My people call ourselves the Gobelin. Or at least near as you can pronounce without a compulator.
Bing bong.
Now launching the luggage of Ass Hurley from the luggage release ring. Please stand clear for safety.
Oh, that's me! Or I think that's me. I think the computer may have vulgarized my name a bit, but not even that could put a hamper on such a magical day! I'm going to meet my new family. This is my new home. And what an exciting home. This is the best day. The stars are shining extra bright, don't you think?
I wouldn't stand so close to the release ring. It's less of a release and more of a cannon. I was going to say cannon.
What a quaint way to distribute luggage. Well, now that I've found my breath and my belongings, it's time to find my new home. Safe travels, friends!
Okay.
Now to find Dr. Matthew Cuthbert. said he would be somewhere near here. Oh, I see a man holding a most peculiar sign that reads, Human Teenage Test Subject Daughter Figure. Strange that test subject is very lazily crossed out. Perhaps he would know Dr. Matthew. Hello, sir? Would you happen to know a Dr. Matthew Cuthbert?
Yes, hello.
So, can you help me find Dr. Matthew?
Yes, me. I'm him. Are you her?
Her who?
The girl, the human girl, the one come to join us in the lab.
Anne. My name is Anne, short for Anne Trades. I'm so happy to meet you.
Yes, right, Anne. Marilla couldn't rightly remember your name. She's a good woman. Personal details escape her. People escape her sometimes, too. Sometimes forget to lock things.
What?
Had a safe trip, did you?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Much more comfortable than the transport I took to my last family. Well, transport is generous. It was more of a tightly packed interplanetary cargo frigate. But I had my own box, and I was able to sneak a book on with me. It was missing the first 70 pages, but I always have been an imaginative type, so I made up my own beginning. It was a biology textbook, so that was difficult. But now the early hominid Australopithecus specimen Lucy has a first and last name, as well as a career. I called her Lucy Maud Montgomery, and she was a writer. Can you imagine that? What a life she led. She wrote in the mud with a precursor to basic uniform. All of the other early hominids were very jealous, but she didn't care. Of course, the fact that she wrote in the mud means all her works were lost to time, but I like to think that she wrote about a very precocious and charming red-headed Neanderthal with pigtails. The first ever pigtails, I'm sure.
Well, that's certainly something.
Yes, it is. You know what else is something?
What's that now?
How beautiful the planet is below. It's all swirling, brilliant green clouds and flowing continents. Oh, and I met one of the aliens who called the planet home. He was a very nice man. Short.
Ah, you met a goblin then. Good people.
Gobelin.
Hmm?
Gobelin. You said goblin. I think it's very important to respect names and the people attached to names. Don't you think so, too? Names are beautiful and unique, just like people.
Well, yes, I suppose they are.
How many children live on the station?
Some. I don't rightly know the number.
Oh, I can't wait to make friends with everyone. I'll learn all about their fascinating home worlds and customs and what their favorite poems are.
Well, now, I think the school day may be coming to a close, but we'll be stopping in to get you registered. Then on to the lab, my home. Your new home now, too, I suppose.
Oh, fantastic! Do you have any children, Matthew?
Me? Oh, goodness, no. Just never ended up getting around to it, I suppose.
Oh, does Marilla?
No, she's a what you'd call a workaholic. Never quite knew what to do with children. She never got to be one herself.
Oh, well, that is sad. The world can be hard on someone and force them to grow too soon. I've counted myself lucky in that regard. I believe I will always be an eternal child at heart and an optimist to boot, all despite my hardships.
Well, no, you don't quite take my meaning.
I swear, I very nearly aged 10 years in my last home. Very stressful people. Also, the climate system on their ship made things very dry and they didn't allow me any moisturizer.
Well, now, Marilla is no stranger to stress, but her aging early was more of a literal thing. Accident involving an aging ray gun, you see. Never got around to inventing a de-aging ray gun.
Oh, how awful.
Oh, not all bad. She made a never-aging ray. Hasn't aged a lick since. Forever 50. That's the call sign on her shuttlecraft.
I like the alliteration.
Yes, she's quite fond of that. I suspect the naming of things is her sole artistic outlet. That and naming her human hybrids. Many's an opportunity for
portmanteau.
Yes, that's the one. You're a very literary young lady.
Why, thank you. And you seem to be a sweet man of few words.
Oh, now.
See?
Well, you did interrupt me just now. May have had more to say.
Oh, God, there's too many eyes! So... You trailed off again like you had more to say.
Did I now? Well, I...
Well, I...
Oh, well, I see the school up here now. Let's us pop in and see what's about getting you registered. Looks like a lesson's wrapping up. Can maybe meet a little future friend or two. One or two students are literally from the future, in fact. There's also a charming young man who helps us out in the lab sometimes. You'll make quick friends with him. Let's go in, eh?
Let's!
Okay, now, I'm going to go in to talk to the administrator. You wait here and listen in now, eh?
Okay.
Now, can anyone tell me how many stars there are in this quadrant of the universe? You've answered the last five questions correctly. Let's perhaps give someone else a chance. Anyone else?
Here, sir.
Yes, Josie. How many stars are there in our quadrant?
Something big. 500,000.
Oh, what? No, that's way off. Woof. Anyone else?
Oh.
Anyone?
Oh, teacher!
Okay, go ahead.
I often think of the wrong number, like Josie. I sometimes think there are 42 trillion stars in our quadrant, when there are in fact roughly 41 trillion. But in the end, it is our flaws that make us human. Human like me, Gilbot.
Correct again, Gilbot.
Thank you, teacher. I feel validated in my knowledge of interstellar geography. You are a terrific instructor.
Oh, you.
Are you the new girl? The one living with the mad scientists?
Yes. Although I don't know how mad they are. I'm Anne.
Well, I'm Josie, and that dreamboat over there is Gilbot. Isn't he cute?
He seems nice enough. Bit of a know-it-all.
Oh, yes, he's very clever.
That's our time for today, everyone. See you all tomorrow. Don't forget to review Chapter 57.
Oh. Hello, you must be the new student.
How did you know?
Your appearance is not familiar to my ordinary human sensory system. Did you know that your hair color is pigment 2735? It is the exact same pigment as the noble space carrot.
Is that how you introduce yourself to people? Tell them that they look like a dirty old floating root vegetable?
But it is a factual statement. I choose to follow the human maxim that honesty is the best policy. Because I, Gilbot, am an ordinary human boy.
Well, it's rude.
Oh, ow. Why have you broken Gilbot's data pad over Gilbot's head?
You were being a rude, know-it-all jerk who won't stop yelling. I'm sorry that I broke your data pad, though. I can replace it for you. Someday, when I can afford it.
No need. Gilbot will get a new one from
the Maker Box.
Well, I'm glad I haven't put you out then.
Apology. Accepted.
Oh, okay, now, you're all set. See, you've met our lab assistant, Gilbot. You two will be seeing quite a lot of each other.
Gilbot looks forward to it.
See, I told you he was a charmer.
You and everyone else.
Oh, okay, well, let's make our way to the lab so that you can get settled in. Gilbot, why don't you join us?
Gilbot will be there shortly. First, I must go tell my human parents that I love them and then eat a nutritious snack.
Yeah. Yes, well, send them our best. Off we go then, Anne.
Later at the lab.
Yes, well, here it is. Home.
Oh, my goodness. I love it. So many twinkling lights and monitors. It's like a Technicolor Twilight. Oh, what's this big tube?
Well, now that'd be the clone tank. Still perfecting that one. Sometimes they come back wrong.
Oh, God, this one's escaped. Oh, there's so many tentacles. You trailed off again there. Hello? Oh. Matthew?
Yes. What? What was I saying?
You were showing me around my wonderful new home.
Oh, yes, right. Well, now over there in the far corner, that'll be your quarters.
My very own room? Oh, my goodness, I don't know what to say. At my last home, I had to sleep in one of the escape pods. Now I get my very own room? Wow, just wow. Is there a bed?
Well, yes, I should say so. It's no stasis bed now, but it'll do the trick for you. Comfortable enough. I have the same one myself. And it has shields in case anything gets loose in the lab in the middle of the night.
I get a bed! Wait, gets loose? What gets loose?
That's her?
Marilla, yes. This is Anne. She's quite a conversationalist.
Anne, right. Put this on, Anne.
Ooh, what is this? It looks so intricate. Is this an experiment? What does it do?
Do? What? It's a suit. You wear it. Put it on. Too many questions. Did she do this to you too, Matthew?
That and then some. Quite the conversationalist. Very curious. Bit of a natural scientist, I would say.
Why, yes, I do love reading science books, though I hope to be more of a galactic adventurer someday. Maybe a part-time rock star. I'll write a memoir someday about wild days touring the cosmos.
Yes, rock cosmos adventure. For now, just put on the suit. Come on it goes. Right over your clothes.
Oh, okay, right. Here it goes. There it is. It's very, very baggy. I don't think it fits quite right, but I do appreciate the gift.
Gift? Nothing. Press the button on the left lapel.
This here? Okay, here we go. Oh, my goodness, it fits perfectly now. Very snug and comfortable. It's surprisingly cool.
Yes, perfect. It works, and it didn't crush the user this time. And yes, it's cool. It's climate controlled. It's meant to survive various inhospitable environments, desert planets, space, all that. Take this crazy straw.
I could have been crushed.
Now take the crazy straw and gently jab it into the button on your sternum here.
You want me to jab this into...
The button on your sternum. Yes, now jabby jabby.
Now, Marilla, no need to push her so hard.
No, it's fine. Here we go. There it is.
Now put the straw in your mouth and sip.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. This is very good. It tastes like...
Like fruit juice. Okay, that's three checks.
This is wonderful.
I call it the Caprisian sunsuit. It keeps you hydrated, cool, and alive in harsh environments. The juice will never run out and has all the nutrients you need as well as oxygen.
It never runs out of juice?
Never.
What marvelous bit of science creates the juice?
Well, if there's moisture present in the air, it'll create it from that. If not, it makes it from a mixture of other various things.
What are the other various things?
Oh, you know, things. Sweat, urine, various bio waste, hopes, fears. Things.
I am disgusted. But not...
excited. What other incredible things can this Caprisian sunsuit do?
So many incredible things. Let's get you to the airlock and we'll test them.
Marilla, please tell me you tested the seals and shielding on the suit since the last, you know.
Knock, knock. Hello, Marilla, Matthew, and Anne. Whose hair I should not mention is the exact pigment of space.
Will you be quiet?
Space carrots. Yes, that is the exact same. How did I not notice that myself? Oh, I see by the look on your face, that is not a compliment.
If you're all very much finished.
Yes.
Suppose so.
Yes.
Okay then, Matthew, Gilbot, here. Take these Caprisian sunsuits of your own and put them on. We'll be teleporting down to the surface of P-31.
What brings us down there this time, and why the extra precaution?
I found a powerful power signature in the dunes area of the eastern continent. I need whatever is causing it for my latest experiment.
Are you sure? This is Anne's first time on the planetoid surface, and things can get quite spicy in the dunes.
Go with the flow is what we humans say in such scenarios as this. And we'll be quite safe with all of us there. I am sure of it.
Good then. On to the pads with us all.
All right then, let's all get our suits engaged. Computer. Oh yes, forgot those. Computer. Four to port to the dunes.
My first adventure.
Soon after, on the planet's surface.
Is everyone there?
Gilbot's eyes adjust quickly. Only slightly quicker than other normal humans.
Oh no.
Stop fussing, Matthew. Everybody tap their left shoulders to turn on their suit lamps.
Oh, much better. These are very bright.
Now, you were saying, Matthew.
Yes, I seem to have... ported right into the mammoth razor grass, and I'm a little impaled.
Matthew!
The good news is he has only lost two of his four limbs, which we humans can survive. He has also lost 2 pints of human lubricant. I mean blood!
What are we going to do? We have to help him!
3 pints gone now. His human body will be going into shock.
Hello, Mr. Space Prime Minister. This is a lovely room full of golden light. It was nice to meet you.
I do not have time for this.
Matthew? Matthew? No!
Is this the sad end of Dr. Matthew Cuthbert? Tune in to next month's amazing episode, Children of Dunes, to find out